Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Every once in a while, as regular listeners know, we like to show off some of our best and brightest students, and one of them is with us today. Her name is Courtney Sechrist, a native of Columbia, Tennessee. She is the Chief Justice of the Intercollegiate Supreme Court in Tennessee, and also the philanthropic coordinator for MTSU's Student Government Association, a member of the honor fraternity Gamma Beta Phi, and she is an active participant with the NAACP, as well as the Roosevelt Institute. And she's taking classes in her major, political science, this summer here at MTSU, finishing up this month. And Courtney joins us right now. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
How do you juggle all of your various duties and responsibilities and still find time to study and to have a social life?
Well, I am in love with a planner. My planner is my best friend. So I try to organize by that way. I try to organize my list of priorities and always just make sure I have time for family and friends and things that are important.
Is your planner digital or is it the old-fashioned write it down?
The old-fashioned way. I have not, I'm not new technology wise at all. I have such a problem with that. So I'm the old school, whip it out and write it down, and that way I can remember it better. So
what sorts of political science courses have you been taking so far in pursuit of your degree?
Well, as of right now, I'm taking a modern political thought class. I've taken con law. I've tried to stay in the classes that are closely associated with pre-law as possible, because those are my plans after college. So as many classes that are associated with pre-law, I'm taking.
What kind of thought have you given to which law school you'd like to attend ultimately?
I would love to attend a law school in the Nashville area, the Belmont, Vanderbilt, areas like that. I love Tennessee. I love this area. So if I can stay close to home, that's important to me.
And the Intercollegiate Supreme Court, how did you become Chief Justice? What was the process?
I was originally a judge. We tried to model the Supreme Court as best we can. We have appellate cases that we that lawyers argue, so we listen to them and try to model the Supreme Court as best we can. So I applied and we voted as a group, as justices, and they elected me to be the Supreme Court Justice.
And how often do you convene?
We convene once a year in November. We have weekly conference calls, and we meet maybe once or twice every 2 or 3 months. So we try to stay in contact as much as possible.
Now, where do your cases come from?
We normally pick a case that is being used by a law school or that has the potential of being used for a law school. So it's brand new cases. No one has heard them before. So it can give everyone who comes to TISL and who is arguing as a judge, as a lawyer, has the opportunity to see what it's going to be like.
And TISL is T-I-S-L, which stands for?
Tennessee Intercollegiate State Legislature.
Now, the cases are real cases, is that right? Do they come to you out of, they're not made up by people?
They are made up. They are cases that law schools would typically use in their classes. So we normally get on that as soon as possible so we can have a great selection for our lawyers when they come.
So do you strive to take a variety of cases, business, intellectual property, get any death penalty cases? And the kinds of cases that the original Supreme Court, the real Supreme Court, would take?
Normally we do. We try to have a wide variety from year to year. So we normally try to have a broad spectrum of the cases that we use. We only use one case during the year because we only meet for a weekend in November. Mm-hmm. But from year to year, we try to make it diverse.
Do you actually have oral arguments pled before you?
We do. We do. We convene as a court. We convene in the old Supreme Court chambers in the Capitol in Nashville. And lawyers from different schools across Tennessee will come and they will participate in the competition.
These are professors from law schools that will do
that?
No,
these are undergrad students.
Okay.
They normally will apply at their university, maybe as a moot court type of position or something like that. And they apply and then they compete to get here, to get to the Supreme Court chambers.
Now, what attracted you to the profession of law? Why does it appeal to you?
I think the profession of law appealed to me just because there's so many avenues that the law can go into. And I think that it was just important for me to pick a career path where I felt like that I could dip into other avenues of what the law could open doors for me.
When you look at the way the judicial system is now, do you think that you ultimately could be a judge, or would you prefer to be either a prosecuting or defense attorney?
I ultimately want to become a judge. Everyone asks me, what is it? Is it the role? But I want to be the one that has the decision, that has the opportunity to make decisions and to ultimately change people's lives.
Well, it can't possibly be the robe. I mean, that's not exactly chic fashion, is it?
Chic fashion. Damn it.
Not much you can do with that.
Right, exactly. But I want to be the person that has the opportunity to change someone's lives by my decision.
Do you think that you can maintain a judicial temperament no matter what the facts of the case are before you and come to a ruling in an objective manner? Did you have that kind of temperament just as a person yourself?
I definitely think I have. And plus, I'm a woman, so we're Wonder Women. We can do it all. But I definitely think I can. I think I know the difference between what's right and wrong and putting my opinions and my feelings to the side and making the best decision by the law.
Even when a case comes before you where the law is rather short-sighted and kind of ties your hands as mm-hmm. a judge, but you still have to adhere to the law as written.
Right, exactly. I think that those will be the times that are going to be most difficult, but I think that I'll be able to handle it.
What about political science itself? What has been going to political science courses been like for you?
Political science courses here, they're really a range of classes. We've gone anywhere from international relations to pre-law courses to con law classes to theory classes. So the political science department here really gives you a range of what you can expect once you graduate with a political science major and a degree. Mm-hmm. So it just basically gives you a broad range for you to fill out what you are good at and what interests you the most.
You're doing a great deal at one time. Are you thinking or hoping that all of the various activities that you participate in, the various accolades that you obtain, will help you get into the law school of your choice?
That's definitely my hope. I try to be very diverse and make meaningful community connections, and I try to do that to my best ability so that when I do apply for law school, that can definitely be a plus for me, as well as I think it's just important to just have different aspects of what you're good at and putting your best skills in different organizations.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the law still holds an appeal for African Americans now, the way it did when the civil rights movement was in full swing and certain strides and advances were beginning to be made? Do you think you see African Americans getting into the practice of law as much or wanting to do so as much as they did back during the 60s and 70s?
I think the law is definitely important to African Americans as it was back in civil rights time. However, it's unfortunate, but I believe that not as many African Americans are tempted to go into the law field as they were then.
You mentioned diversity. Would you like to see more people from all different kinds of races, both genders, backgrounds, sexual orientations get involved in the law?
Definitely. Definitely. I believe that when you have diverse individuals, it helps a career or organizations, anything that you're a part of, to have a different outlook. So it has different potential when you have diverse individuals.
The Intercollegiate Supreme Court, you say they only meet once a year. Do you ever wish that you guys could meet more than once a year? Because it seems to me like if you were able to meet quarterly or whatever, you'd get in more practice and you'd get to gel as a group. I mean, the real Supreme Court can convene any time,
right?
For any reason. How do you guys gel as a group of justices if you only get to see each other once a year?
Well, as a court, like I said earlier, we actually do meet more than once a year. We have weekly conference calls, and we try to meet every 2 months. Mm. But as the competition with the lawyers itself, we only convene once a year.
Physically get it physically together in once. The same place.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. But as a court, we do meet. We have our conferences, and we have things that we get together to be a part of with different lawyers. And we actually just met with the Supreme Court Justice of Tennessee 2 months ago. So we as a court meet quite often, but as the competition, we only meet once a year.
So with all of that, do you guys think that you're able to establish a rapport as a unit of justices? I mean, do you feel you know each other and can have a feel for what each other, the directions that each other is going on a particular case, or how they might try to analyze a particular set of circumstances? I mean, do you have a feel for what your sort of group ethos or group personality is like?
Definitely. When you are around particular individuals for a long length of time, you get to know their character, their political views, etc. So we definitely have a take of what one judge, based on their prior decisions, will make on this decision.
One of the courses you've been taking this summer, you told me, is modern political theory. Tell me how you feel about the theory side of political science versus the practical side of political science, the real world side. Do you see the two of them intersecting, or do they seem far apart?
For me, they seem far apart. I'm so used to taking courses that there is a right or wrong answer, and here's the decision. But with a theory class, there's infinite answers and infinite questions that can be raised. So I'm struggling a little bit with that class just because there's not a definite for sure answer.
Mm-hmm. But as a lawyer and as a judge, you're going to have to be sort of a deep critical thinker when you go to determining the outcomes of cases and things. I mean, some of them will be what they call black letter law, but some of them you're going to go look into the law books and you're going to find cases that conflict with each other or contradict each other. You know, you'll find one precedent here and then you'll find another precedent later on that overturns that precedent or sets new precedent, and then it's difficult for, I don't think people realize, people who have a bad impression of lawyers don't realize it's really difficult to sort all of this out, and that's why it takes so long to go through law school.
Right. I think those are times where you have to base your decisions off of personal experiences, et cetera, things that you believe is the most important in that decision. So I think those are times where you actually do look at yourself and life in general and things that are going on to help better make a decision.
Do you think that lawyers have sort of gotten a bad rap? I mean, there are a lot of labels that are hung on lawyers, and not all of them are very pretty these days.
Right.
What about people who automatically are suspicious of lawyers or eager to hang a bad reputation on them?
I think lawyers are very complex. I think lawyers have a diverse complexity to their career path. Mm-hmm. And I think individuals in some communities only see one aspect of what a lawyer does and not another aspect. So I think it's just that this career path has so many complexities to it, and normally you only see one side. So that's normally why a bad rep comes with being a lawyer.
Do you have any role models in either the political realm or the legal realm that you look up to and admire?
Well, my role model, I would have to say, is my mom. Before anyone legal in my career, I just look up to her so much. She would put her life on the line to make sure that her children are successful. So before any of that, I look up to her for sure.
Mm-hmm. And your mom is not a lawyer, just to clarify.
My mom is not a lawyer. She's in the medical field, but I definitely look up to her because of her character. So that's who I would have to say is my main role model.
Mm-hmm. Are you prepared for the length of time and all the hard work that law school is going to take? I mean, it law school and medical school are the two places, not that other graduate schools are not tough or rigorous, but they're the places that take the longest, cost the most, and where you really have to bear down. You think you're prepared for that?
I don't think that I'm mentally prepared yet. I don't think that I will be until I get in there and I start doing taking classes that I'm passionate about. And I think once I get in and start, I think that it'll all kind of go by the wayside because it'll be something that I have a passion for and a desire to get through. So hopefully that is going to keep this drum beating.
Well, that's basically what it's all about. You have to go into the profession that you have a passion for. But I see so many college students come in and some of them, A, don't really know what to major in, and B, they just sort of pick their major. Those who have picked a major just picked it because they figure they can make the most money at it, or it was what their parents did, or they were pushed into it by their in-law. Who knows? A lot of other silly reasons. But you seem to have a real burning desire to do what you want to do and to get it right.
Thank you. I've always been taught that everyone has a purpose, so my whole goal in college is just to fulfill my purpose the best that I could. So that's kind of what is keeping this desire alive and making me strive for everything that I do here.
Is there an area of the law that intrigues you more than other areas?
Well, at first I was planning on going into corporate law, but now as I get more and more in classes, I don't know if that's going to be the field for me. So I'm trying to fill it out to see which one that I think I would best fit in.
Okay.
So I'm still on the deciding factor.
When you read about cases in the news media, do you read them just as a layperson, just as the student that you are, or do you read them with the mind of someone who's trying to train to be a lawyer? Do you look at them critically or analytically?
I do try to critically analyze the cases as best I can in undergrad, but sometimes I will try to step back and say I'm going to read this as a regular person that's not interested, just to see how my decision would be based, and then read it again as someone who's pursuing to be a lawyer.
Are you the kind of person who looks to the U.S. Supreme Court docket and keeps up with when stories are done about what cases are coming before them and what the oral arguments that are being made before them? Are you a junkie in that respect?
Not a junkie. I have a balance. I will say I do have a balance. But when those things do come across my desk or I come across them, I do read them just to be intrigued by it. But I do have a balance between regular life and law and, you know, family, things like that. So I do try to keep a balance.
Are all the folks who are justices on the Intercollegiate Supreme Court pre-law or intending to go into the law, or are some of them have no intention to become lawyers, but they just happen to find it to be interesting and fun? What are the makeup of the most of your fellow justices like?
All of the above, everything that you said. We have our justices are consistent with people who are planning to go to law school, and then we have those that are not law majors but are intrigued by the law, and then we have those who are minors in law but don't plan to be lawyers or judges, etc. So it's a makeup of all that. We're very diverse.
How about your life as a member of student government here at MTSU? What has that been like for you?
It's been one of the most amazing opportunities I've had here. I think one thing that's important, because MTSU is so large, it's important to get incorporated with organizations to help your university seem smaller and get that family aspect again.
And what sorts of things have come before you as a body while you've been as a member of SGA, some of the issues that you all have taken up and considered?
Well, we have a large amount of issues that come across in the SGA. We handled traffic, the parking, lighting. We handle when there is a problem with students and they feel like there's a problem, that there's a concern that administrators need to be aware of. So we handle a very diverse and large group of things that come across.
Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty diverse group of students, too. They
yes,
come
ma'am.
From all across campus, and they come from all walks of life, right?
Yes, definitely. We have senators from each college, so we try to represent our campus as best we can. We have senators who represent every college and graduate senators, senators at large, freshman senators. So we try to represent MTSU as a whole. I am the philanthropic coordinator, so I didn't have to campaign this year. I applied for my position to deal with community service. Mm-hmm. There were seats left in my college, and so I applied for those, and that's how I was appointed to be a senator.
Okay. We'll talk about how some of your colleagues campaigned. What did they do, some of your fellow members of SGA?
Okay. Normally, there are signs that go out all on the yard around campus. The big place to campaign is in the KUC, the Keith Lee University Center. There are a lot of students that congregate there, so that's a great way just to interact with your fellow colleagues and get your name out there, let them know why you want to be a part of the organization and things like that. So that's a great way to campaign. Mm-hmm. Facebook always helps. So those are great ways mm-hmm. to campaign.
I don't think that the level of political discourse that is out there in America today has infiltrated SGA yet, but have you noticed just in general, like the quality of what passes for political rhetoric these days getting a little nastier, you know, not in SGA, but in real politics, state, local, and national politics, a little more on the dark side than it used to be?
I would definitely have to agree. I think that it's kind of getting a dim and scary time for politics and people's characters while they are running for a position. So that's definitely a downside to politics now.
Do you think it could have any bearing on judicial positions or judicial cases? I mean, some people accuse judges these days of playing politics with the way they decide cases and with taking either a conservative or a liberal view, depending upon their bent, instead of just deciding the case on the facts.
I definitely think that it can for sure trickle down to the judicial branch. So, and that's unfortunate.
How do you think, what do you think is the best way to approach a case honestly so that you keep your emotions totally out of it? When you as Chief Justice of the Intercollegiate Supreme Court go to consider a case, how do you put your emotions on the back burner and just look at it? I mean, you're not personally invested in it, but you are personally invested in being the best Chief Justice you can be.
Right. I normally just try to take myself out of the situation and just look at it as, like I told you earlier, when I read something, I try mm-hmm. to read it from two points of views.
Yeah.
So I try to read it from my perspective as well as someone who has nothing to do with it. So that's normally how I try to approach each case that we get.
Well, what do you like to do in your spare time, if you have any?
I have plenty of spare time. I'm the oldest, so I have a younger sister who's a sophomore here, mm-hmm. and I have a younger brother who's in fourth grade now. And so I have a wonderful family. God has blessed me to be surrounded by beautiful, beautiful people. So I try to spend as much time as I can with them and friends. And I'm a girl, so I love to shop. I love spa days. Mm-hmm. So, and I love volunteering. That's one thing that I'm very passionate about. So I'm very happy this year to have the philanthropic position. So it's a great way for me to be able to connect with Rutherford County and our community. So,
do you have any favorite charities or nonprofit groups that you feel closely associated with or feel are very, very worthy causes?
Well, one thing that I love to do is volunteer with students. My minor is education, so that's one avenue that I could go after I graduate. So I love volunteering for students. I think it's always important to have great models, especially when you're younger, someone who is somewhat on the same playing field, but not exactly. So I love volunteering for that, and I love organizations that are associated with cancer. My dad passed away my sophomore year in high school from leukemia, so that's something that I'm very, very passionate about.
You sound like a person of faith. Would you like to talk about what role faith plays in your life?
Faith is very important in my life. I don't believe that I would be where I was if it wasn't for God. That's one of the foundations that I was brought up on. So my parents made sure that my faith in God and education, my faith in God was what was going to get me through education, get me through life. It was going to help me fulfill my purpose. So that's my whole goal in life, is to fulfill my purpose, and to be a light to someone else. So someone who doesn't attend church or doesn't even crack open a Bible, I hope that by seeing me and by seeing the way that I live my life, it can inspire someone else.
So you won't mind at all taking the oath on the Bible?
Not at all.
You bring your
own. If anything, I hope they do that. So
you bring your family
so
Bible
I can be bound
to take
by
it on
something,
that,
right? Exactly. If anything, I want to be bound by something. So
you mentioned education earlier, that being your minor. Can you see yourself as perhaps a law professor in a law school someday? Do you think you could handle that?
I don't know. I student teach in the spring, so we're going to see how I think I can handle it. So I think that's going to be a great platform to see if that's an avenue for me to go into. That's one thing I love about this field. There's so many opportunities that are available to you.
The reason I ask that is because I think people have the image, due to an old movie called The Paper Chase, of the law professor being this very tough, crusty old bird with a bow tie who really sticks it to you and embarrasses the heck out of you if you cannot stand up and deliver and answer the question he asks you in class with great specificity. And I don't see you looking down some student's nose and giving them the what for.
I hope not. I don't come across that way. And I think that's one very important thing about individuals who teach is that we're all different. And so we all have a different aspect of what we feel like is important in the classroom. So I don't think that I would have to be the stuffy professor. I think that I can make it into a fun environment where you're still learning, but, you know, not just so strict and bow tie.
Do I remember reading that you also served as an intern to someone in a governmental position? Tell me about that.
I did. I recently interned for the former gubernatorial candidate, Mike McWhorter. So I wanted to have a different aspect as from pre-law. So I interned for them just to see the political campaign aspect, fundraising aspect, different things like that, just so I can have a variety of choices when I decide to when I graduate.
Did you at all get to meet the candidate?
Oh, for sure. Mr. McWhorter is a very, very nice man. He knew me by name, even as an intern. I think that's very important for people to be down to earth and know their employees by name. And I think that was just very important and made me want to work harder for him.
Did you get the opportunity to meet Ned Ray McWhorter before he passed on?
I did not. I did not get that opportunity. When he did come, I think I was out of the office, but I did not get to meet the opportunity. But I've heard nothing but good things about him.
Mm-hmm. You need to keep some vanilla wafers in the drawer just in case.
Oh, okay.
You know, he'll come back to visit you so, now that even though he's gone. Courtney Sechrist, student extraordinaire and Chief Justice of the Tennessee Intercollegiate Supreme Court, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Please join us again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget, you can check out the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com, and we're available on iTunes.